In a few minutes, we're going to ask Sarah Gray to bring a woman's perspective, particularly this talk and a couple of the other talks. So we'll hear from Sarah in a few minutes, because these areas of relationships, speech, other things like that, there are some challenges that we have and some differences that we have. And so it's good to hear from everybody. Okay, the power of the tongue. We heard from James 3. That's quite a passage. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. Speech is very important. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's literally true in some environments. That is, a king or an emperor or whatever, they could say, they could condemn you to death and give you a death sentence just verbally, and it would then be carried out. But spiritually, we also have death and life in the power of the tongue. A certain way I looked over this, the materials in preparing for it, and said, you know, honestly, if I just read the scriptures, and I'm going to do that a little bit here, if I just read the scriptures, you get the weight of some points here. And so I'm going to do that. I'm just going to read through, I'm not going to read through every single one, but I'm going to read through a few here. The mouth of the righteous, so this is a on your handouts, you can see in the scripture passages for talk 3. It should be about page, what is that? 15, yeah, okay. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Psalm 15, Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from his heart, and does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. James 1:26, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is in vain. Whoa. That's serious. James is serious. Sometimes it's helpful. Ephesians 4:29, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasions, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Speech that builds up. Let that talk come out of your mouths. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, as you are doing. Proverbs 10, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Proverbs 12, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So there's a certain weight here from the scripture, the importance of the tongue. If there's one thing we should take away, is that what we say, our words make a difference in our lives, and especially in the lives of those people that we're in contact with, whether that's our family, our church family, or those outside of our congregation. So the ideal is a simple ideal. Those who wish to be in good relationship with the Lord ought to speak in a good way. So Psalm 15, as we heard, who shall dwell on your holy mountain? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who speak truth and do what's right. Now, that's kind of the ideal here. Our speech is to build up. It's to encourage and to strengthen. That's the ideal, the Christian ideal. Paul is very clear on it. Jesus is very clear on it. So I already read a number of those passages. So there are some problems. This is the talk where I'd say the only ones, in my view, that don't sin probably almost daily in this area, who at least fall short of the ideal, are those who are under the age of one and thus aren't talking or are mute. Pretty much the rest of us, it's hard for a day to go by where I'd say we don't fall short of the ideal. And it's probably hard for a week to go by where we don't sin with our tongue. And I am a sinner as well. And you'll hear about it a little bit as we go on. This is not something that's easy, but there is a demand for us to do it. And it's an area that if we work on, and particularly if we work on together, it can really make a difference for our church. It can make a huge difference. See how they love one another because they speak highly of one another. They honor one another. They build one another up. I'm going to turn it over now to Sarah for a few minutes. She's going to share some perspectives. I gave her a fairly broad license to do to speak as she would to help us understand, particularly from a woman's perspective. So,
all right, how do we do this?
Mm-hmm. Now, fortunately, I'm always cold, so I left my coat on. Well, we take speech seriously because the Lord directs us to in Scripture. And wrong use of our words hurts more than others' feelings. It does harm to the body of Christ, as Bruce just said. So using speech to build up others is really about finding the heart of God. Now, some of you might wonder why Bruce asked me to help with the Christian Personal Relationships course and this topic specifically. Well, it seems he was looking for someone who was experienced in transgressing every area of speech with a wealth of material for illustration purposes, and I was perfect for the job. Well, most of my speech wrongdoing has been unintentional. That is, I don't purposely set out to hurt others. It's so easy to do without trying. You don't have to try. The thing about wrongdoing is speech is it's so easy, especially for women who tend to be relational and conversational. So I found there are two things that can be helpful. And one is a vision of speech that is pleasing to God. And Bruce already started to set that with the ideal. But the vision of speech that is pleasing to God includes self-control and self-denial. And the second thing that's helpful is understanding how to repair wrongdoing, intended or otherwise. Choosing what to say and when to say it requires self-control and sometimes self-denial. For example, as a young Christian trying to figure out the right response to a specific wrongdoing, I asked a godly man about the situation. And his response looked like this. He simply shook his head and did not speak. He wouldn't comment. There was another time when I asked an elder from another group of believers to explain doctrine that I didn't understand. He perceived that the discussion could become divisive and simply said, "It's not very important, really." In both cases, these individuals prevented error, avoided displeasing God and hurting others by choosing not to comment. This is always an option, one I've sometimes taken, perhaps not often enough. But I have to say, when you're feeling clever or knowledgeable, it takes self-denial to remain silent. But if the clever or informational thing you want to say could cause harm, not speaking is probably the option that will be pleasing to God. Well, what is God's heart in speech? How do we get a vision of speech that is pleasing to God? A couple guidelines here. First, use the golden rule. How do I want others to think and speak of me? Does the thing I'm about to say line up favorably with what I would like to have said about me? And second, pleasing God in our speech has a do and a don't. Don't tear down others, diminish them, speak negatively to or about them. Do edify your listeners by building up others and speaking positively. Placing focus on positive speech generally results in achieving both of these areas, more building up and less negative speech. For example, we have among us in our church unsung heroes who selflessly serve behind the scenes in the administration, outreach, music, altar guild, Sunday school, food preparation, and many other areas. They often do this without recognition or encouragement, even without appreciation. It has been my immature nature to notice instead a weak or undeveloped area of our church life. Speaking about it to someone who may not have noticed and has no responsibility for the area is not a helpful response. So having fallen into this trap before, I decided a while ago to find something or someone to affirm and appreciate at every Sunday service. I'm hoping to build a better habit of speaking positively and building others up. Also, seeking the Lord for what he wants in an area of our life before talking about it, finding and having the heart of God in the situation, protects against sinning in speech. Have I noticed an area that needs improvement? How would the Lord want it to be? What is his intention here? It is worth taking time to seek him before speaking. I'm working to be more after the heart of God in our church community, worship, and relationships. Finally, I want to go to the area where I have the most experience, repairing speech errors. My best advice would be to only offend those individuals who are mature and forgiving. Yeah. I have been fortunate on several occasions to be restored after asking forgiveness. The private side of that involves confessing and repenting to the Lord first, because in offending a sister, I sinned against his body. Depending on the situation, there may be time spent weeping and kneeling before the Lord, seeking his favor and restoration. It is the Lord who will show you how to say you're sorry and what to do to repair the relationship. The key here, once again, is finding the heart of the Lord in the situation and making it your own. The good news is, relationships restored in this way are often stronger as the individuals come away with greater value for each other and deepened gratitude to the Lord. To conclude, just let me say that under stress, I can find it easy to slip into negativity, forgetting the value of speaking positively. One benefit of a vital relationship with the Lord is the reminder that we use speech not just to please one another, but ultimately to please the Lord. Back to you, Bruce.
Sarah said it very well, much better than I could have said a number of these things. So Sarah has to run out to an appointment, so she's not just leaving because she didn't want to hear the rest of what I had to say. That's right, exactly, nonverbal community. Very good, thank you, Angie. Yes, that's nonverbal. Okay, so that gives us a little bit of a perspective there. And we're going to fill out, if you will, some of the things. We're going to get a couple of definitions which are actually really helpful. And there are two problem areas in the whole topic of speech. The first is what we call speaking against or slander. Slander is a kind of this term that you either hear only in kind of political environments, court system, exactly, legal things, or in scripture. And we actually, in some ways, it's always like, well, what is slander anyway? It's bad, but what is it? I'm sorry?
Defamation of character.
Yes. Right. So defamation of character, exactly. And so when you speak against, though, it's a little tricky area, because you can actually say something that's true, but do it in a way that harms someone. So it's not just necessarily lying about someone. And so you can even say, well, it's true, therefore I have a right to say it, right? Well, no. not really. So speaking against means saying that others have done something seriously wrong. And so you're making charges of either wrongdoing or, say, incompetence. And so that is speaking against someone. Saying, well, yeah, Bruce Franson, you know, when he was elder on duty that day, and he said these things or he did these things, boy, he is really incompetent to be an elder. And you go say that to as many people as you want. And they'd say, well, how about coming to me with that? And so it does not have to be false to be wrong. So false speaking, saying, well, that person here stole something or did something really wrong that's absolutely false. And you see that sometimes in political circles, where they'll start essentially what's a rumor. It has no basis in fact, and it destroys the person's reputation. And there have been a number of these situations where at least the claim was made that it was a false accusation. I think back in particular to the Clarence Thomas hearings. That's a good example where there was a charge made against him and in the hearings. And Clarence Thomas said that's a false charge. And there was frankly no way to establish the truth of it. There was not enough witnesses, and there wasn't actually the charge was not made against him formally in a court, but it was made against him in this hearing of should this person be made a Supreme Court justice. Whether or not it was true, it was speaking against. And it was done purposefully to try to get him not confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. And of course, if you were saying, well, this person doesn't deserve to be because of this, well, you have these kind of challenges with this whole area. But it's a very tricky area amongst the Christian people. Because what we want to do, again, is we want to see everybody live righteously. We want to see this everybody perfect, if you will. But sometimes we have really no authority in an area. And the only reason we're speaking against a person is either for our own gain or because even we might have seen something that we're not sure about, and then we take it to the wrong environment. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So we're judging them. In order to speak against them, we're often making some sort of judgment. I think that's a very good point. And so it's a tricky area. At the same time, we want to see people live righteously. And so if we see somebody do something that's wrong, and we say, boy, somebody needs to deal with this. There's a couple of things I would say, having lived a while now, is there are certain things where you say, this person has a certain kind of character weakness. Maybe they Maybe you see them have an argument with somebody. Maybe they're not speaking well to their children or something like that. And I look and I say, okay, now I would do that differently maybe, but I'm starting to judge. At the same time, I then have to look and say, first, look at my own sin and say, am I always perfect? And then if the matter is serious, where you say, well, this person is doing something that's abusive, it's really wrong, it needs to be dealt with, then you try to find the appropriate authority. If you're out in the middle of the street and you see someone beating somebody else, you would probably get your cell phone out and call 911. Some of us might get in there and fight, you know, come on, get in there. And so we call 911, police officer comes, you get the appropriate authority involved, and you say this was really wrong. In a Christian environment, there are certain times when we might have to go to someone in authority. And the challenge, of course, comes when the person that we're unsure about is himself or herself in some position of authority. What I would say there is, be careful. Do it carefully and do it appropriately. It's not an easy area to deal with. And fundamentally, it's the responsibility of the leadership in the church to deal with disciplines, matters of discipline of people. And as one who's served as an elder in various capacities, every once in a while that happens. And even there, we as elders try to be pretty careful about how we speak about it to even the other elders. There are certain things where I've been where there have been challenging marriage situations, relationships and situations. And even there, I say, I don't think it's appropriate to be talking about that very broadly, even amongst the other elders, because there's a certain care and guarding that we always want to do of our brothers and sisters. So tricky area, but what I'd say is take the high ground, and the Lord will reward you for taking that high ground. Okay, guess what? Listening to someone speaking against someone else is also wrong. A few passages on that. I'll read them. Proverbs 17:4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives heed to a mischievous tongue. And then Sirach, we note here, Sirach is a part of the Apocrypha. And so it's part of the Greek Old Testament. And some of them were not brought into the, since they were not from the original Hebrew, weren't brought into the canon. But there's a lot of wisdom in the book. Sirach is a book of wisdom. They call it sometimes the book of wisdom. And so you'd say on a human level, and even I think on a spiritual level, there's some good truth there. So admonish your neighbor. He may not have said it. And if he did, he may not say it again. Admonish your friend. Often it may be slander. Every story you must not believe. And then Sirach 28, whoever pays heed to slander will not find rest, nor can he dwell in peace. So there's a high standard here. That is, we have to not only not talk, but sometimes we have to call our brothers and sisters on if we're suddenly listening to something that we'd say, you know, I don't think I'm the one you should talk to about it. I think you should talk to somebody else and deal with that. Any questions or comments about this area? It's a tricky area. And so I don't...
It's hard to stop once you start listening. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest challenge, to say, okay, don't say anymore. Mm-hmm.
Good comment. Right, it's not easy. Any other comments? It's very difficult, right, James? But it's what you the way you put it, I think, is a very good way to put it. I really don't want to hear what you're saying. I'm sorry. And that makes a change. It changes something in the relationship when you actually call somebody on it. And it's crucial in our church congregation to do that at times. And sometimes it might be me that you might be calling on. I will say, you know, we are not perfect. It does not matter if you're 20 years old, 50 years old, or 80 years old. It's not hard to just make a mistake. And so if you call me on and say, Bruce, I don't want to hear that, I will hear that. And because I'll say, yes, you're right. I gave a talk on that once, didn't I? Paul and Don.
I guess, you know, I was telling Joanna, you know, kind of stumbling through this type of stuff for many years. And I'm sure everybody's been on the receiving end of the bullying mouth. But I guess it seems like we're doing all this because we want to love each other better.
A very good comment, Paul. I mean, that is having that orientation which says, I want to build up. And a certain humility which says, I'm not perfect. And we have a certain graciousness toward one another at the same time which says, I know what you're trying to say. And I'm going to hear it in the way that I think you're trying to say it, not maybe exactly. Right, yeah, Martin, very good comment. It's hard to take back words. It's hard to take back words, isn't it? Right. Yeah, Don, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I see later in the series it would be helpful because you're going to address things like conflict resolution.
Yes, very good point. We are going to talk about handling disagreement and conflict because that's a whole separate talk. This is more mostly saying, if you will, we're taking a section out of that where you're saying, yes, you might, when you're in a genuine disagreement, how do you speak? And there are good ways and bad ways to do that. And so, this, okay. Wendy.
I was just going to say, I didn't see this anywhere in the movie. I have heard this and I tried to do it. I can't say I always do it because sometimes I'm too quick to say something. But I always try to ask myself three questions before I open my mouth. Is it true? Is it loving? Is it necessary?
Yeah.
Now, if I can't say yes to all three of those things, then I shouldn't say anything. And it's good to ask myself those questions.
Yeah. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it loving?
True, is it necessary? Is it loving?
Yes. Very good. Very good. Okay, I'm going to move on. Gossip. You know, we love to be in the know, don't we? You know, we just like to kind of know what's going on. That's very human. And a lot of that's okay. It's fine to know what's going on in our congregation because we care. So I want to preface it by saying not everything is gossip. So it's fine to know that these good things are happening in people's lives and, you know, that that so-and-so is dating so-and-so and things like that. It's fine with limits. What's not fine is to just want to know everything about everybody and pry information out of people. That's a little different than just being in the know and having good fellowship with one another. Angie? Sure.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so Martin's pointing out that things like rumors and things like that can be problematic. So what is gossip? It's two aspects of gossip. One is talking about others in a way that negatively affects their good name in the eyes of others. So we're talking about, did you hear that such and so happened to so and so? Or, passing on things that should remain private. Elizabeth.
Realizing that things that you think should be private and things that the person thinks should be private are different, whether it's a positive thing or not, because if you hear something directly from a person and it's a good thing and you're like, wow, if that was me, I would want everybody to know, and you just start telling them without considering, who is this person? Do they still want to be in charge of this information?
Right. Yeah, and in a congregation, it's really important. There's some people are more private than others. As Elizabeth's pointing out, there's some people who really don't want everybody to know every last detail about their personal lives. And so just the fact that we love one another does not give us license to share everything that we know about a person. A good rule of thumb I've often used is I say, if they were right here, that person was right here, would I share it? And if they would, if I'd say, no, I think I wouldn't share that, I'd say, well, then I should keep my lips zipped. So just put yourself... Now, sometimes they might not share it, but again, they wouldn't mind if you did, but sometimes you say, no, I think they wouldn't like that. They would find that embarrassing to know that people are talking about them. And so it's a way of guarding people. It's saying, this is my way of protecting them. And so when we talk about them, it's great to talk about their good qualities. Their successes. So-and-so just won this award. I have no problem, you know, I mean, that's great. That's wonderful. Even if it would be a little bit embarrassing to them, but it's really something that we say, yeah, that's a way to build up. It's also fine to talk about things that don't reflect directly on a person's character or competence. And so if they were driving along and a deer hit their car, we pretty much say, well, that's the deer's fault the last time I checked. I mean, any good driver, doesn't matter when the deer runs out in front of you. And so you could say, yeah, he's in a bad accident. But on the other hand, if it's something where it was a bad accident and there's all of this stuff swirling around it, you see, right now I don't think I need to talk about that a lot. That's not going to be helpful to anybody. I might need to talk about it with some close friends of theirs in order to help care for them. If that's my goal, that's fine. I'm talking about it in order to help build up care and take care of the body. I'm not going to go talk about it just so that everybody knows about it. Tricky areas. I'll tell you, even prayers. It's pretty easy for prayers for people to turn into gossip. Just have to watch it. I just want to pray for so-and-so who's having a lot of problems with their children right now. So we just got to be very careful about doing that. We have to say, okay, is this going to build up? Is this going to strengthen? Yes, if you say, this person really needs support, even there, I will go often to the person and say, is it okay if I share about this with these people? Because I think they need to know so that they can pray. They say, yeah, sure. I mean, most of the time, they're going to say, yes, sure. But I will ask them, not just assume. So then private matters, confidential. If we're in a sharing group with people, or a Bible study even, and somebody's sharing something that's pretty personal, they have not given you license to share it. Somebody else already pointed that out. What they share with you in the context of some example that they're giving as something the scripture struck them about does not give you license if it's their fault or weakness. So courtship matters. You need to be careful. Again, there's kind of extended circles and things, but you just have to say, would they want others to know at this point or would they not? So again, taking a care and concern. Finally, we should not listen to gossip and not pass it on. I read that Sirach passage, I think. Did I read that one? 19:5-6. No, I didn't. He who gloats over evil will meet with evil, and he who repeats an evil report has no sense. Never repeat gossip, and you will not be reviled. Never. So there's just a way where I'd say this is a human thing. And this is a place where we can say, no, I am simply not going to listen. And I'm going to, if you're a brother or sister in my congregation, I'm going to call you on it. And hopefully they'll have heard this talk and will repent. How you call them on it, we'll talk about correction and those kind of things a little later, another talk. Okay, finally, disloyalty. This is a challenging area as well. In our world right now, everybody kind of says, well, if there's a problem, then you should somehow tell it to everybody because you want to protect the church or the people or something like that. Yeah, there certainly are times when there's abuse and other things like that, and to cover it up and to hide it is a problem. And it's illegal if you're a teacher, things like that. And so you can have a false sense of loyalty, which says, well, I can't tell this thing that's clearly illegal, I can't do it. I say, no, you have a responsibility actually to tell the appropriate authority, and sometimes that's the police. And so we're not talking about a false sense of loyalty. At the same time, we shouldn't be speaking about people in a way that's frankly overcritical. I am Mr. Critical. Believe me, I can be really critical. And I have to just sometimes zip my lip. And sometimes I don't. I'm ashamed to say, but that is true. And sometimes I should just zip my lips myself. And so whenever I'm giving this kind of talk, I'm always saying, yes, I am the chief of sinners in some areas. But sometimes we need to bring it to an authority. Well, fine, bring it to an authority. If it's a problem in the church where you say, I need to bring it to some authority outside the church, well, again, there are ways to do that are appropriate. So we're not saying a fanatic loyalty that with no boundaries around it. But that said, we should speak loyally. Okay, finally, speech that strengthens, the good. Unfortunately, in this talk, you have to deal with, if you will, the problems. As Christians, our conversation, even our way of speaking, should be distinctive. Because the negative things that characterize so much of our culture around us, we're just going to drop out. We don't need to be Saturday Night Live people. If you haven't watched Saturday Night Live, good for you. but if you have, it's funny. Oh, they're clever. Right. But we're going to leave out some Saturday Night Live stuff. Okay? I was in the Word of God community, and which had, you know, at the time was had, you know, 1,200 people in Ann Arbor, and this is in the late 70s. I called up an insurance agent to ask about insurance for a car. I just like went to the Yellow Pages and just looked for insurance agents. And I'm talking to the guy for about 5 minutes, and he goes, "Are you in the Word of God?" And I go, "Well, yes." I said, "How'd you know?" He says, "Well, people in the Word of God just have a particular way of talking. Part of it's vocabulary." It is pretty funny. You pick up vocabulary from one another. But part of it is just a certain way of talking. And I just go, "Whoa." You know, I'm marked by my vocabulary and a certain gracious way of speaking. I go, "Whoa, that's really important." And so this is an area that takes work, but boy, is it worth it to just say, "I just want to build up in my speech. I want to speak in faith and hope always. I always want to be saying, you know, the Lord's going to take care of this. The Lord's going to do this." Talk to Gene Dennis. If you just need lessons in talking in encouraging ways, ask Gene Dennis how he's doing. He'll always say, "I'm doing great because God is good." Gene, my hat is off to you, brother. And Gene, you know, he has physical suffering that he goes through. And I'm not going to tell you all the details about it, lest I sin. But Gene suffers, you know, there are some things that he suffers from, but you won't know it. You just won't know it. And there are certain people like that where I go, "My goodness." And so there's just a way where we say, and even when they're going through a harder time, they have an attitude that says, "You know, the Lord's going to be at work in this." And you know, if you speak it enough, you might even convince yourself. that it's true, that God is going to be at work in it. So speaking attitudes of faith and hope, encouraging brothers and sisters who are going through a tough time, that God is there for them and we're there for them. It's wonderful and builds up. Yeah, Wendy.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
It's all right to say that even when you don't feel it. In fact, it's really important to do that sometimes because we don't always feel that way.
Yeah.
But we know that that is the truth, and so it's important to say it in words.
Yeah. Right.
And your feelings come along after a while.
Right.
If you say it enough.
Exactly. I'm doing good because God's good. And sometimes if you're really struggling, you also can say, you know, it's just been a hard week for me. It's just been a pretty challenging week, and I know that God's going to be at work and going through these things. And so we should look at that. We already talked about promoting the honor of our brothers and sisters. I won't talk about that in any depth, but also use our speech to express affection to our brothers and sisters. And so we're looking again to build up, encourage, strengthen. It will feel funny sometimes. That's okay.
It feels fake occasionally.
Occasionally.
But, you know,
right.
You talk yourself into the truth.
Right.
You know it's really the truth, it's not fake.
Right. And then finally, we just want to be a source of grace. That's really a summary of that, saying, our speech, we want to be a people whose speech builds up, strengthens, and encourages. Pastor's looking like we're out of time, so we're going to finish here.